Good morning. Let's try this again. Today's daf is Bava Kama daf Mem Beis. We are now holding at the Tanya Idach at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, five lines in. So again, the Gemara is going to go through various drushas about Baal HaShor Naki, what it is that the owner of a short tam who kills somebody is not obligated to pay. It says the Braisa, Tanya Idach, Baal HaShor Naki, Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Naki Midmei Vlados. Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, if the short tam were to gore a woman who's pregnant, he would not be obligated to pay for the financial loss of the fetus, or plural fetuses, if there are, inside of the woman. That's what the Torah is trying to tell us, that the owner of a short tam would be pater from. So Amar lo Rabbi Kiva...
Pater from what? From Misa and Chatzikova.
Well, he'd be pater from Chatzikova, presumably building on the previous braisas. He'd be high of Misa because he killed the woman.
He didn't kill... Oh, he's saying he did kill the woman.
And then he did kill the woman, and the assumption is that he would have to pay for that. Oh, I see. Because generally the Torah says that if there's an also, and if you kill the woman, then you're not chayav to pay the blood, the dmei blados.
Right.
If you don't kill the woman, then you are chayav to pay the dmei blados.
So
I guess in this case, yeah, you could say that you didn't necessarily kill the woman. A person would be obligated to pay for the dmei blados. And a shor, even though it's the exact same case as a person, is not chayav to pay the dmei blados. Yeah, Rashi here says, midmei blados, nagach es ha'isha ve'yatsu yiladeha. If he gores a person...
He just gored her and the woman miscarried.
Right. But the question is, if the parsha of goring, where we say Baal HaShor Naki, is talking about where you killed the person, then when we combine the two cases, we're combining the Nagach HaShor and the Dmei Vlados case, are we assuming that the woman died or not? The Gemara later is going to clarify some of these details.
We might be assuming that the deaths are the Vlados. The deaths in this context would be the Vlados.
Right, the deaths in this case are the Vlados. But in the normal case, the deaths are also the Vlados, meaning if you kill a woman and the Vlados come out, the assumption is that those Vlados are also dead, right? And the question is, do you have to pay for them or not? Yeah. So I think in any case, you would have killed the Vlados.
So what are we talking about here? The woman died or didn't die?
So I think it's a little bit unclear. I assume that the woman did die because we're sort of combining two cases. We're combining the case of a shor goring and a woman being killed while she's pregnant. So you're right. In the case of a woman, either the woman died or she didn't die. If she did, you don't have to pay for the Vlados. If she didn't, you do. But in the case of goring, you only pay when you do kill the person. So I thought here the assumption is that you did kill the woman. Lechora is probably subject to a machlokas rishonim. That I'm not sure. Rashi doesn't specify. But the Gemara is going to entertain different possibilities at the bottom of the Amud, and it's going to clarify whether the woman did die, whether the woman didn't die, and what the punishment.
Here it says, Yossi Galili interprets the phrase as referring to a case in which the woman did not die.
God, the woman did not die, and the Vlados came out. Okay, perfect. And they quote
a miscarriage.
Do they quote that from anybody? They just say that.
No, they just say
time and times. Okay, so let's go with that. So you gore the woman who's pregnant. She didn't die. The Vlados came out. So do you have to pay the May Vlados? Generally, a person who injures a woman like this would be responsible to pay for the May Vlados. You have to pay if the woman does not die. But in this case, we're assuming, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Baal HaShor Naki, the owner of the Shor Tam, does not have to pay for the Dmei Vlados. The Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Harei Omer ki inatsu anashim velo shvarim. So Rabbi Akiva attacks Rabbi Yossi Haglili. He's basically going at anybody who makes a drasha from Baal HaShor Naki and saying, this drasha makes no sense. Why not? Because when the Pasuk talks about a person injuring a pregnant woman and the Vlados coming out, maybe the woman having a miscarriage, the Pasuk specifically says, ki natsu anoshim, when two people are fighting. And we assume that means anoshim below shvarim. Only if people are fighting and injure a woman, but not if an ox were to injure the woman. So why would I need a drasha to tell me Baal HaShor Naki, Naki Midmei Vlados, that the owner of the shor does not have to pay for the value of the Vlados if that's basically explicit in the parsha of a pregnant woman who becomes injured? So says the Gemara, Shapir Kamar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's claim is a very good claim. His attack against Rabbi Yossi Haglili is very good. Seemingly, I don't need this pasuk of Baal HaShor Naki to tell me I'm pater from Midmei Vlados if that's already clear from the pasuk of Ki Natsu Anashim. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ula Breider of Idi Itzrech. You really do need the pasuk of Baal HaShor Naki. Why? Kasalka daitach amina anoshim velo shvarim. I would have thought that this drasha that Rabbi Akiva is quoting, ki inotsu anoshim velo shvarim, that only a person will be obligated for injuring a woman, but not oxen, is true. But I would think that it's shvarim hadomim ma'anoshim. Ma'anoshim mu'adin, af shvarim mu'adin. I would think that the ox, which is going to be pater from injuring a pregnant woman, is similar to the person who is obligated for injuring the pregnant woman. that just like the person who injures the pregnant woman is muad, why is the person automatically muad? Because we said, adam muad olam bein er bein yashan. So just like a person is likely to injure, so too the ox that would be putter from injuring a woman having to pay for the dmei vlados is an ox that's muad. Hatam mechayev, but by implication, I would assume that an ox that's atam, that's unlikely to injure, is chayev to pay dmei vlados. So katav rachmana baal hashor naki depater, and therefore the Torah tells me baal hashor naki, which Rabbi Yosi Aglili darshins to mean naki min dmei vlados, to tell us that the owner of a shor tam is also pater in this case. So really, the two drushas go hand in hand. Anashim milo shvarim is true, but I would have thought that's limited to shvarim hadomim la anashim, only oxen which are muad, not oxen which are tam. Comes along the pasuk of baal hashor naki to tell me that the owner of a short time is also pater in may bloodless. But then Rava comes and he asks the obvious question. Amar Rava, yitziva ba'ara v'gior b'shmei shemaya? Says Rava, this is a line that's used throughout the Gemara anytime there seems to be an inconsistency. I'll just translate literally for 1 second. Yitziva ba'ara, the citizen is on the ground, v'giora b'shmei shemaya, and the convert is up in the heavens, meaning you're basically promoting somebody who's lower level, like a convert, and you're lowering somebody who's on a higher level, like a citizen. So what's Rava saying in this case? We had just suggested that maybe a shor muad would automatically be pater from paying the dmei vlados, because anashim below shuarim hadomim la'anashim, but a shor tam might have been chayav. So that's a ridiculous suggestion, because a shor tam is thus more likely to be obligated than a shor muad. We had seen earlier, the Gemara discussed, is there ever a case where a shor tam comes out more chamer than a shor muad?
There's a letter from the Rambam to a ger. The ger was crying on the Rambam's shoulder that he feels like a second-class citizen, that he's not Ben Avro Mitzvah Yaakov like you, like all the other Jewish people. The Rambam answered him that while it's true that he and naturally born Jews are Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, we trace our lineage to the Avos. The Ger, he said, the Ger, you and all other Gerim, you trace your lineage directly to HaKadosh Baruch.
Wow.
So it is true. Yatsiva Ba'aru V'Giyuru
B'Shmaya. That's great. Is that like a famous letter, or that's just like it's like one of the Igros of the Rambam? Or no?
Yeah, it's one of the letters of the Rambam.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah. I wonder, did the Rambam use this Lashon, or like phrase it like...
He didn't use this Lashon, but he said right. that his lineage is higher than a regular...
Wow, Rambam. That's amazing.
Maybe, so Gyura, I think Art Scroll translated it an alien, didn't translate it as a Ger.
So the Rambam was putting us down?
What?
So the Rambam
wasn't putting us down. To be a Ben Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov is not a put down.
Yeah.
He's just elevating the Ger, that's all.
Right.
Not at our expense.
So alien convert, I mean, I think it's very similar, right? Because we say by a ger,
maybe it means a ger in a way the Torah uses the word ger. You know,
right. But right. Yeah. Right. Like the Torah warns us many, many times about how to treat a ger. And it says, also in other contexts, but because we were a ger in Mitzrayim. So how are we a ger in Mitzrayim? We didn't convert. What does it mean?
Stranger.
It means that we were a stranger. We were an alien. But I think also when you deal with a convert, you're dealing with somebody who is by definition a stranger and sort of converted in. And that's why he maintains that name. So yeah, certainly the lashon of alien makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so how could it be that a shor tam, a shor that's unlikely to injure, is going to be more chamer?
How do you treat him more stringently than you're treating a muad?
Right. In the maskana, we're going to treat them both the same way. They're both going to be pater. But we're saying the way you touch the two drushas is there is a hava amina. We could have thought that a shor tam would be more likely to be obligated because the Torah only excluded shvarim hadomim la'anashim and only excluded oxen which are muad, which are likely to injure, but not a shor tam. And that's why we need the pasuk of nakim yimei vlados. But that doesn't seem to make sense. The logic doesn't flow. Yitziva be'ara be'giura b'shmei shamaya. The Masoras of Shas here quotes it from at least 2 other places in Shas. But certainly a lashon that comes up throughout.
I've seen this before.
So Ela Amarava Itzrech, really you do need the pasuk of Nakim Dmei Vlados, Bajor Nakim, tell us Nakim Dmei Vlados, but not for the reason that we thought. The real reason is because the pasuk says Ki Natsu Anashim, when people fight, and we darshan that to mean Anashim below Shvarim, only when people fight and injure the woman, but not oxen. But how would you have touched that drasha? Sal Kedaita Chamina, Anashim below Shvarim Hadomim La Anashim, you still would have thought that it means only people, but not oxen, which are similar to people. And how do we explain that similarity? Ma anashim mu'adim, just like people are mu'ad, af shvarim mu'adim, so too the oxen that are being excluded are mu'ad, are likely to injure. So it's exactly the same as the previous suggestion. V'kal v'chomer letamin diptiri. And you would have learned, b'kal v'chomer, that if a mu'ad is pater, doesn't have to pay, kal v'chomer, a shor tam, a shor that's unlikely to injure, is also pater. This is consistent with the kasha of Rava. Rava had said, how could you make the tam more chomer? So we're going to now say the opposite. Kal v'chomer, if the mu'ad is exempt, all the more so that the tam is exempt. And therefore, hadar katav rahmana bal hashor naki, tam pater umu'ad chayav. Therefore, the Torah comes to tell us that a shor tam is going to be pater, bal hashor naki, naki minuei vlados. That's now telling us that a shor tam alone is pater, but a shor mu'ad, you're going to be chayav. So it ends up reversing what we thought by anashim, anashim below shvarim, hadomim la anashim, that the only ox that would be pater is a shor mu'ad. Based on the pasuk of bal hashor naki, naki minuei vlados, we can actually conclude that a shor mu'ad is chayav, and only a shor tam is pater. So Amrle Abaye, Elameata, Gabe Boshas Nami Nemahachi. Abaye says, if this whole lima, this whole drasha that we're saying in the context of a person who injures a pregnant woman, and there's a miscarriage, there's injury to the fetuses, if it's true that we can learn anushin when people fight, but not oxen, then any time the Torah deals with people and refers explicitly to anashim, we should be able to make similar drashas. And we know that by boshet, we also have ki natsu anashim yachta. We also refer to people fighting. So why don't we make the same type of drasha? Anashim velo shvarim hadomim la anashim. We should say that the only people who are obligated to pay for boshet are people, but not oxen, which are similar to people. And ma anashim mu'adin af shvarim mu'adin. Just like the people that are going to be obligated are mu'ad, because again, adam mu'ad olam bin er ben yashan, so too the oxen which are going to be pater are also mu'ad. The kal v'chomer letamim dibtiri, and we should again make this kal v'chomer that if a mu'ad is exempt, so too a tam should be exempt. Hadar katav rahmana bal hashor naki tam pater u'mu'ad chayav. And then the Torah would come along and tell us, bal hashor naki, that a tam is pater, a tam is the only ox that wouldn't have to pay for the boshes payments, but an ashor mu'ad, a shor which is likely to injure, would be chayiv to pay for the boshes payment. So if we can make such a drasha when it comes to a person injuring a pregnant woman, then we should make this exact same drasha in the context of boshes, where the Torah uses the same word, anashim. V'chitei mahachanami, and if you'll tell me that we can actually do that, that all the logic I just presented is sound, and we can go ahead with this drasha in the context of boshet. Yihachi mitni bal hashor naki, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, pater mid mei vlados umid boshet. We basically would need to amend the brisa that we began with, if this is true. Again, the brisa started bal hashor naki, that the owner of the shore is pater, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, naki mid mei vlados. Now, the way the Gemara explained everything is that's all based on a drasha from anashim, anashim velo shvarim, that we learn only people are obligated, but not oxen. The only oxen which are exempt are oxen which are similar to the people that they're mu'ad. We then make a kal v'chomer to a shor tam, and then bal hashor naki tells us that only a tam is pater, but mu'ad chayav. So if Rabbi Yossi Aglili is going to make that same type of drasha in the context of boshes as well, since the pasuk says anashim, we should teach explicitly in the brisa that you're pater both from dmei vlados, from the money, the value of the fetuses, and also that you're pater from boshes. So it can't be that this drasha is true, because we don't do the same thing by boshes. Ella, we have to now change our understanding. Abaye v'rova d'amri tarvayu, anashim ein ason ba'isha ya'anshu, yesh ason ba'isha lo ya'anshu. So the Gemara is now going to clarify, and this gets back to our previous discussion. Again, we were assuming that in this case where the shor gores the pregnant woman, the woman does not die. And we're going to now clarify the cases based on the parallel dinim by a person. When it comes to a person, we say, ein ason be'isha ya'anshu, that if the woman does not die, then the person has to pay the dmei vlados. But yesh ason be'isha lo ya'anshu, if the woman does die, then you would not have to pay for the dmei vlados. I think really we assume you would have to pay for the dmei vlados. It's just that, kam le'bim d'rabim minei, you're exempt from that payment. It's sort of like the Torah tells you explicitly that is true, because it tells you specifically that you're only obligated to pay if the woman does not die, but if she does die, you are. So the assumption is, if the woman does die, then you have to die, and but if the woman does not die, since you're not dying, you would not have to pay. You would have to pay. But oxen are not going to be the same as anashim, because again, we said anashim velo shvarim, that oxen are going to be different from people. So how are oxen going to be different? The oxen would be different from people in that even if the woman dies, they would still have to pay for the Dmei Vlados. So Hadar Katav Rahmana Baal Hashor Naki Dipater. And then the Torah comes and tells us, Baal Hashor Naki Dipater, that if the woman dies, you would not have to pay for the Dmei Vlados. So based on this current understanding, you could, I don't know if the article adds anything here, but you could now understand that the initial Brisa, when it was talking about killing, injuring a woman, and the fetus is becoming injured, was saying even if the woman is killed, because the fact that Baal Hashor Naki is coming to tell us that in theory, even if the woman died, you would have had to pay, and now we know that you don't have to pay. So that could be understood, that even if the woman dies, you don't have to pay. Ask the Gemara, though, Maski Flor of Ada Barava, Atu Ba'ason Talia Milta, Bekavana Talia Milta. Says Rav Ada Barava, do you think that when it comes to a shor paying, it's in any way dependent on whether or not the woman dies? It's not dependent on that at all. It's dependent solely on kavana. And says Rashi, "Va'afilu yesh asun beisha ye'anshu im niskavim lechavero." When it comes to, let's say, a person, even if a woman were to die through the process, you would still have to pay for the Dmei Vlados if you didn't intend to injure the woman. So what Rashi basically elucidates here, what this question of the Gemara is that when it comes to a person injuring a pregnant woman, we don't really care about whether or not the woman died. I know it's explicit in the Torah. It says if the woman dies, you don't have to pay. If she does not die, you do have to pay. But that's not really what we're worried about. We're really worried about the kavana, whether you intended to injure the woman or not. So Rashi explains that let's say you didn't intend to injure the woman. You really intended to injure your friend. And the woman accidentally was injured in the process, and the Vlados were harmed, you would still have to pay the Dmei Vlados, even though the woman was killed, because you didn't intend to kill the woman. You wouldn't be put to death for killing the woman. There'd be no application of Kamle B'Derabim Minei. So why would we understand the Psukim in a way where a person is only obligated to pay for the Dmei Vlados if the woman does not die, and a Shor would have been obligated to pay for the Dmei Vlados either way? And therefore the Torah comes and tells us, Baal Hashor Naki, that you don't have to pay the Dmei Vlados. It really should have nothing to do with whether or not the woman dies. It should really only have to do with the kavana of the person who injures the woman. El Amar of Ad Barava, Anoshim, Kiniskavnu Zelazeh, Af Agav, Sheish Oson, Be'isha, Ya'anshu. We're now going to re-understand that when it comes to people where the Torah says, Kinatu Anoshim, if they intend to kill one another, not to injure the woman, then even if Yesh Oson, even if the woman dies, still, they would have to pay for the Dmei Vlados. But ki niskavnu le'isha atzma lo ya'anshu. If they intended to injure the woman and the woman died, they would not have to pay for the Dmei Vlados. The only situation in which they would have to pay for, would not have to pay for the Dmei Vlados is if the woman both dies and they intended to injure the woman. Velo shvarim da'afilu niskavnu le'isha atzma ya'anshu. But shvarim are different, oxen are different from people in that even if they have intent to injure the woman, they would still have to pay for the Dmei Vlados, right? So they have intent to injure the woman, and the woman dies, they would still have to pay for the Dmei Vlados. Katav Rahmana Baal Hashor Naki Dipteri. Then the Torah comes and tells us, Baal Hashor Naki, that the ox would not have to pay for the Dmei Vlados in this case. So now we've re-understood the Psukim in a way that's consistent with the question of Rav Ada Bar Ava. It really has nothing to do with Asun Talia Milta. It has nothing to do with whether or not the woman dies. It only has to do with whether you had Kavana to kill the woman or not. So again, by a person, if you have Kavana to kill the woman and she dies, you're Patur from Dmei Vlados. In all other cases, meaning you didn't have Kavana to kill the woman, or even if you did but she didn't die, you would have to pay for the Dmei Vlados. And by an ox, even if you had Kavana to kill the woman and she died, you would not have to pay.
It's the same thing, in other words, it's a parallel. Because of Baal Hashor Naki.
Because of Baal Hashor Naki, right. But I think the assumption is, I don't know if they clarify this in the article or not, I thought the assumption is that if a shor kill the woman with intent to kill her, that he would not have to pay the Dmei Vlados.
From Baal Hashor Naki.
But let's say he had intent to kill the woman and she didn't die, he would also be pater, right?
Well, you don't know.
Again, it's totally about how we understand the first Braisa. Was the first Braisa, when it said Baal Hashor Naki, talking about a case where you killed the woman or you did not kill the woman? So initially we quoted from the article that you did not kill the woman. But now we're coming down to Im Yesh Ason, Im Ein Ason, which really has to do with whether or not you have Kavana. So we know by a person, only if you have Kavana and you kill her, you would not have to pay. But right. Let's say you...
When an ox gores a person and kills him, we can say he had Kavana to kill him. But when an ox gores a person and the person doesn't die, how do you know whether he had kavanah to kill him or not? How do you know what the
right? You're saying by a person you could test it.
You can see by the result what the kavanah was right. By the goring.
But
if he doesn't die, if there isn't the fatal result, how do you know whether the shor had kavanah to kill or not?
You don't know.
Right. So if you don't know, then what should you say? Should you say that the shor is for sure pater min mevlados, or should you say it's obligated? So I think maybe more logically you would say regardless the shor is going to be pater from him and you wouldn't have to pay. So there's a slight difference. Now you could say there's no true parallel because the case that you have by a person where you know that they tried to kill but they were unsuccessful, you can't have that by a shor. So to that extent, it is still parallel. Any case which you can have by a shor, you would have the same din as a person. There's just one third case which you could have by
one
a person.
Difference?
Right.
There's one
the
difference?
Case of niskavein velo harag. Right. You had kavanah to injure the woman, but lo yason.
A shor would also be pater?
So a person would be chayev. It sounds like we're saying a shor would be pater, either because nakim in mevlados, or, as you pointed out, because you would never know that this is the case. You would never know that a shor had kavanah but was unsuccessful. So the chen kiyater of chaga midroma atav aitimas nisu biyadei kevas eider of adabar apa. This was all of Rav Bar Abba's suggestion, his understanding. And when Rav Chagai came from the south, he brought a masnisa, he brought a braisa with him that was in accordance with Rav Bar Abba, that understood the psukim exactly the same way that Rav Bar Abba did. Okay. Now we're moving on to another drasha from Baal Hashor Naki. Tanya Idach, Baal Hashor Naki, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Naki Midmei Evan. The braisa tells us that if a shor tam were to gore an eved, generally a person would have to pay 30 shekel kesef for the injuring of an eved. But if the owner, if the shor is a shor tam, you would not have to pay that. So ask the Gemara, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva use his previous question? Earlier we saw it a little bit today, but at the bottom of Mem Aleph and Beis, Rabbi Akiva had attacked Rabbi Elazar and said, how could you even have a Havamina that the owner of a short tam would have to pay anything if a short tam only has to pay Migufo? He only has to pay from his own body, his own monetary value, and here he has to die. So why don't you bring him to Beis Din and then try to collect any damage that you're able to collect? The short is going to be put to death. It's not going to have any value. So obviously you don't have to pay for anything. So how could Rabbi Akiva have a drasha telling us, Ubala Shor Naki, that the owner of the shor doesn't have to pay for the Dmei Eved if you could only have to pay from the Guf HaShor, and in this case, the Guf HaShor is worth nothing. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Kishekodam Bailav Vishach. Rabbi Akiva still needs to tell us that you're pater from Dmei Eved in a case where before the shor was put to death, the Bailim went ahead and shechted the Bailim, and shechted the shor. Because now the Bailim has in some way saved some value of the shor. If the shor had been brought to Beis Din, it would have been put to death, asurbana, and worth nothing.
Right.
But now that the Bailim went ahead quickly and shechted the animal before it was brought to Beis Din and killed, it now has some value because it's a kosher animal and the meat has value. So ma'u detema l'shtolimine, you might think that in this case where a shor tam gores an eved, that you would collect the eved payment from the meat of the shor. Kamash malan. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva is telling us, Naki min me'eved, that ho'il ubar katalahu, af agav deshachte, lo lishtalimine. That since originally the shor was obligated to be put to death, even though you went ahead and shechted the animal and saved it from being put to death, still you don't collect me'eved, or you don't have to pay me'eved from this shor.
So this kadam shechet is after Gemar Din?
Before.
So before Gmar Din.
Why is he a bar katola? Why do you call him a bar katola?
Because he's obligated to die, even though... I mean, I think the assumption is when you have a case like this...
Chmises abalim, chmises asher, right? If a person kills a person before he's been sentenced, he's chayiv misa.
Right.
Someone's on trial for his life, and you kill him, he's chayiv misa. He's not a bar katola yet. You only put it for misa if you kill him, if he murders him after sentence has been passed.
Right. So, but I think this gets back a little bit to your previous point about the difference between a shor and a person. I think the assumption is that by a person, it's at least questionable if they're going to be obligated, right? We need Edim.
We need Edim here too.
We need Edim here, but I think Gemara seems to assume throughout that when you have a shor that gores in such a way, it's pretty guaranteed that they're going to be put to death.
So why don't we just say that he shechted him
after Gemara
Din?
Right. I don't know. I guess the question is how much is the time lapse between...
Rashi says, Kodim Shinig Medina.
Right, Kodim Shinig Medina. It's
like... He said, it's Ashrabano. Even if you shut them, you can't eat the meat. There's no value.
It's Ashrabano.
Ask Mardin, it's Ashrabano.
All right. probably a little problematic. Kamisas abaylam kach misas asher.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. My understanding was always that in the case of a person, it's like a little bit more subjective. Maybe they could get off the hook. Maybe they'll be Adam Zomim, some sort of situation
maybe
like that.
Maybe they'll be Adam Zomim.
Right, here too. You have the same issue. So I don't know. The Gemara seems to... I don't know if they comment on this at all in the art scroll, Richard, but it seems to be that with a shor, it's more definite that they're going to be put to death. So they're considered already a bar katala. Once we know that they're going to be put to death, even though it's kodem gemar din, as you pointed out.
Okay.
So then ask the Gemara, ihachi, Rabbi Eliezer nami kishakadam b'shachta. Earlier, Rabbi Eliezer had to defend himself against Rabbi Akiva's attack of just bring the shor to beis din, it's not worth anything. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer respond and say, kishakadam b'shachta, the case that we're dealing with is a case where you went ahead, the Bailam went ahead and shechted the shor, and now it actually does have value that you could collect from. So says the Gemara, hakanami, really that would have worked for Rabbi Eliezer. And really, Rabbi Akiva never should have even suggested the kasha of bring him to Beis Din and see if you can collect anything. It doesn't have any value. Because v'savar, but the reason he did ask that question is v'savar, dilma islay tam acharina da'adif mehai v'neim alay. Rabbi Akiva thought that maybe Rabbi Eliezer is going to have a better explanation for why you need the drasha of u'balashor naki, naki mechatzi kofer. He thought there would be a better explanation than just shakata m'shachto. And therefore, he wanted to ask him, how could you ever have to pay this money if the shor doesn't have any value, and not just assume it was kodem b'shachto, because he wanted to understand Rabbi Eliezer's shita properly. So he figured, let me just ask my kasha, and if he has a different defense, he'll explain his defense, and I'll understand it better. And if he doesn't have another defense, then he'll just tell him shekodem b'shachto. So then asking Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, na'mi lishne le'e shekodem b'shachto. Why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer just answer shekodem b'shachto? So the Gemara explains, basically, as Rabbi Akiva was asserting, that Rabbi Eliezer had a better explanation, a better defense against Rabbi Akiva's kasha than just saying shekadam b'shachta. Amar lecha, hatam hu deniskave naragas abehema veharag es ha'adam. Rabbi Eliezer says, specifically in a case of abalash or naki, you're going to be naki mechatzi kofer, going back to the explanation that Rabbi Eliezer had given, that only in a case, or specifically in a case, where a person, where a shor has intent to injure a behema and injures a person, the shor lav bar katala hu klal, where the shor is not going to be obligated to put to death at all because it didn't do what it intended. It intended to injure a person and it ended up, it intended to injure a shor and it ended up injuring a person. The salkadaitach amina nechayev, itzrich kra lemiute. There specifically, you might have thought that you'd be obligated to pay chatzi kofer because you're not obligated to kill the shor. So you might think that you do have to pay for chatzi kofer. But if you wanted to establish the case as a general case where you kill a person, but the Bailam went ahead and shechted the shor, and now the shor has value, since originally you're chayev to be put to death, the shor is meant to die, I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that you don't have to pay a chatzi kofer, even if the shor does have value, even if the shor was shechted and you could collect from the meat. So the reason Rabbi Eliezer didn't just say the case that I'm dealing with is a case of shekadam b'shachto, and therefore the shor has value, is because according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no hava mina there that you would have had to pay even from the meat of the shor. It's only in a case where the shor is not obligated to be put to death, where I would have had a hava mina that you'd have to pay chatzi kofer, where I need a pasuk to then tell me b'ala shor naki naki mechatzi kofer. So then ask the Gemara, Oli Rabbi Kiva nami v'adai hachi hava. For Rabbi Akiva, this logic should be true also. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva had said that the time where I need a pasuk, ubalash or naki, to tell me that you're naki min me eved, that you don't have to pay for the value of the eved or the penalty of the eved, is a case of kadam b'shachto. But Rabbi Lezer says there's no havamina in a case of kadam b'shachto, but really the shor was obligated to die, and you just went ahead and shechted him. There's no havamina that you should have to pay. So why would I need a pasuk to tell me naki min me eved? The same logic that's true for Rabbi Eliezer, that I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you're pater from chatzi kofer in a case where you shechted the animal, should be true for Rabbi Akiva, and I shouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that if you shechted the animal, you're pater from tmei eved. And therefore, how do I understand the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, ubala shor naki, naki min me eved? We have to rethink our entire explanation. So says the Gemara, el amar vasi, hai milta mipi de gava rabba shmieli. You may have a different girsa. I saw quoted Mipirke de Gavar Rabba. Rav Asi said, I got an explanation for this whole discussion from a great person, Umanu Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. And that person was Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. That Salka Daita Chamina, Ho v'Amar Rabbi Akiva, Af tam shechava ba'adam meshalim b'motar nezek shalim mishtalim nami d'me eved me'aliyah. Rabbi Akiva has a unique shita that if a tam injures a person, if a shor that's unlikely to injures a person, you have to pay nezek shalim. Whereas most people would have assumed you only have to pay chatzi nezek. Because Rabbi Akiva is unique in this way, and he thinks that a tam has to pay b'motar nezek shalim, I might have thought that you also have to pay d'me eved me'aliyah. I might have thought that you'd have to pay the value of the Eved, not from the value of the shor itself, but from your own possessions. And therefore, even if the shor is put to death for killing the Eved, it's irrelevant that the shor has no value since it's being put to death, because I have a havamina that you're going to have to pay this payment from other possessions, from your own money, not from the value of the shor. And therefore, I would really think that you're obligated. So, katav rachmana baal hashor naki. And therefore, the Torah comes and tells me, baal hashor naki, that the owner of a shor tam does not have to pay the dmei Eved. So as the Gemara, this explanation still doesn't make sense. Amar le Rabbi Zeira le Rav Asi, Rabbi Zeira says to Rav Asi, "V'atavrei Rabbi Akiva l'tzize." Rabbi Akiva has already broken his fist. He's already destroyed his whole shita. He was unique in thinking that a tam shechava ba'adam, that a tam, a shor that's unlikely to injures a person, has to pay nezek shalem. But he then didn't say that you have to pay me'aliyah, as we had seen earlier, and we see now. D'tanya Rabbi Akiva omer yachol yashalem me'aliyah. Rabbi Kiva said, you might think that a tam which injured a person would be obligated to pay motar nezek shalem from the aliyah, from his own possessions, but the Torah tells us kemishpat hazeya asalo, that he only has to pay migufo and not mina aliyah. So it's true that Rabbi Kiva was unique that you have to pay motar nezek shalem. And we were saying we had a havamina that you have to pay the Dmei Eved Me'aliyah. So comes the pasuk Ubala Shor Naki to tell us you don't have to pay the Dmei Eved Min Ha'aliyah. But we shouldn't need that because Rabbi Kiva already told us that this tam, which is unique, would never have to pay Min Ha'aliyah. So why do we need the drasha of Ubala Shor Naki, Naki Dmei Eved? Why would we have ever thought that you'd have to pay for the value of the Eved? El Amarava Itzrich. I do need to know that you'd have to pay the penalty of the Eved. Why? Or that you would not have to. Saga daita chamina, hoel umachmerini be'eved yoter mi ben chorin. I would have thought that since I'm more machmir by an eved than I am by a regular person, how so? She ben chorin yafasela no tensela, shloshim no ten shloshim. When it comes to a ben chorin, you always have to pay the value of the person. So whether he's worth one or he's worth 30, either way, you have to pay that value. If it's one, you pay one, and if it's 30, you pay 30. The Eved, Yafasela Noten Shloshim, but by an Eved, even if it's only worth one, there's a knas that you have to pay 30 regardless. So, Mishtalim Nami Dme Eved Min Aliyah, Katav Rachmana Baal Hashor Nak. Since...
Why do you say that's a chum? Why don't you learn the other way? You know, if it's worth 100, right, you only pay 30. So, why, you could say it's kula.
Yeah. Right. So here the Gemara is trying to understand why you have a Havamina. It's certainly a Kula, and the Gemara does use that example in other cases. Right? What Rudy's asking is, it's true that an Eved would have to pay, you'd have to pay 30 for an Eved, and that's a Chumra when it's only worth one, but it's also a Kula when it's worth 100. So why are we saying, you know, sort of unequivocally, that an Eved is always more Chumra than a Ben Chorin, if sometimes it's more Kal? But here the Gemara is just using it to try to explain why there's a Havamina you'd have to pay the Eved. So in that case, you're going to need a Chumra to explain why you'd have to pay it. But certainly you're right that in many instances, it's not always a Chumra. Right? Tosos actually asked this kasha. If you look in Tosos, the Eved Yafasel and Noten Shloshim. Right? We're just saying that the Chumra of the Eved is that you have to pay 30 even if it's only worth one. So Avagav the Shavah Kuf a Noten El Shloshim. Even though if it was worth 100, you'd only have to pay 30, and therefore it's not a chumra, it's a kula, exactly like Rudy's saying. Mikol makom kaven shenotein kitzva shel shloshim af al pi she'ein shava el asela oyoter shel leolam hakitzva omedes im kein gam kesheashor ein shava klum kayemes. Tosos actually touches it back to the sugi beautifully. Tosos says, since it's always true that you pay shloshim, you always pay 30, whether the shor is worth 1 or whether the shor is worth 100, it's basically a constant requirement that you always have to pay 30 no matter what. And therefore, says Tosfos, it should be true that you have to pay 30 even if the shor is worth nothing. Right? And our case is specifically a case where the shor is worth nothing because we had started, Rabbi Akiva says, Naki min me eved. And the Gemara asked, according to Rabbi Akiva, how does that make sense? The shor is not worth anything. There's no way for you to recover this damage. Mm-hmm. So Tosfos says it works out beautifully because here the shor is worth absolutely nothing. There's still a habim yadish. They have to pay 30 because that's always a requirement. And therefore, katav rachmana, bal hashor naki, to tell us that the owner of the shore is pot. So that's Rava's explanation, and this seems to be the explanation that we work with. Tanya kavasei de Rava, bal hashor naki, Rabbi Kiva omer, naki midmei eved. Again, we darshan the pasuk bal hashor naki, Rabbi Kiva tells us that you're potter from paying the midmei eved. Valo dinhu, ho b'chayev be'eved, b'chayev ben chorin, ma kishachayev ben chorin, chilakta bo ben tam lemuad, af kishachayev be'eved, nechalik bo ben tam lemuad. The Gemara says, it's very logical that you'd be pater from paying the dmei eved. Why? Because by your chayev when an ox gores a regular person, and your chayev when an ox gores a slave. So just like when an ox gores a regular person, we make a difference between tam and muad, because a muad pays kofar and a tam doesn't. So too, by an eved, it's logical that we'll differentiate between a shor tam and a shor muad. A shor muad has to pay the $30 fine of an eved, but a shor tam does not. So that's very logical that Rabbi Akiva darshins naki min the eved. The old kal v'chomer, uma ben chorin shenotin kol shovyo chilakta bo ben tam lemuad, Eved sheino noten el shloshim eino din shenachlek bo bein tam lemuad. And also we have a kal v'chomer, and this is where Rudy's question sort of comes to light again. By a ben chorin, you always have to pay the entire value of the ben chorin, and still we make a split between a shor tam and a shor muad, that a shor muad pays kofar and a shor tam doesn't. So by an eved, where you don't always have to pay the value of a shor, where you always have to pay shloshim, and sometimes that's a chumrah when the eved's only worth one, but when the eved's worth 100, you specifically don't have to pay the entire value of the shor of the eved. You only have to pay 30. So ain't no din shenachalik bo bein tam lemuad.
Here, the Gemara seems to be using it as a kula.
Right, I think so, exactly.
And it's an elish lesha.
Right, exactly. So I think that's Rudy's point. That's I think it's using the case of the eved being worth 100 and you only have to pay 30. Right. So it's very logical that it's true that nakimid me eved, that you don't have to pay the eved, and therefore, implicitly, the question is, why do I need this drasha of Rabbi Akiva? So the answer is the Gemara, lo, machmereini be'eved yoter mi ben chorin, she ben chorin yafasela noten sela, shloshim noten shloshim. I would think you need to be more machmir by an eved, even more so than you would by a regular person. Because by a regular person, if he's worth a sela, you pay a sela. If he's worth 30, you pay 30. Be'eved yafasela noten shloshim. But by an eved, there's this chumrah that if it's only worth one, you still have to pay 30. And therefore, yachol yehechayav, you might think that the owner of the short tam is obligated to pay. Kal v'chomer balash or naki, naki min de'eved. Therefore, the Torah tells us, balash or naki, that the owner of the short tam is pater from paying the de'eved in such a case. Okay, maybe we'll just try to go a few more lines. Gemara just begins this discussion here about a shore injuring a woman. So says the Brisa, Tan Rabbanan, v'heimis ish o isha, the pasuk tells us that if the shore kills either a man or a woman. Amar Rabbi Akiva, v'chima bazel lamdenu. What's the Torah trying to teach us when it tells us that the shore injures either a man or a woman? Im l'chayev ala isha ki ish, if it's just trying to tell us that you're obligated for injuring a woman, just like you're obligated for injuring a man, hari kfar ne'amar ki gach shor et ish o et isha. We already have an explicit pasuk which says, when a shor gores either a man or a woman. So why do I need to know, v'heimis ish o isha, whether it injures, it kills a man or a woman, that seems to already be explicit in the psukim. Ela lahakish isha leish. Rather, what the Torah is trying to do when it tells us behemis ish o isha is it's trying to compare a woman to a man. Then ma ish nizakav leyorshav, af isha nizakeh leyorshav. That just like when a person is injured in such a way where they're killed and there's financial penalty that the person who injured them has to pay, we assume that that money goes to the person's heirs. So too, by a woman, we assume the payment goes to her heirs. So they asked him, all right, because the woman is dead in this case, and so the money that she'd be paid would go to her inheritors. V'savar Rabbi Akiva lo yaris labal. If Rabbi Akiva's understanding the pasuk of behemis isha isha to tell us that the money is paid to the woman's inheritors, is that to suggest that Rabbi Akiva thinks that the husband, who's still alive in this case, because it was the woman who was killed, that the husband does not inherit the woman? We have an explicit brisa where Rabbi Akiva understands the pasuk of yarash ota, that a person is inheriting some woman, to mean that the baal, the person, the woman's husband, is the one who inherits the woman. So why would Rabbi Akiva understand the psukim that the payment is paid to the heirs of the woman? It should go to the husband. And we're assuming, you could say that the heirs are the husband, because he's the person who's supposed to inherit. But the assumption is that when we said someone that else, it goes to the inheritors, that's referring to the children. So how does that fit with Rabbi Akiva darshaning that the husband is Yoresh Ishta? So Amar Reish Lakish Lo Amar Ela Bekofir Ho Vein Mishtalim Ela Leachar Mita V'Havale Roi Vein Abal Notel Beroi Kibam Masa. Reish Lakish says, yeah, it's true. Rabbi Akiva generally holds that the husband inherits the woman. However, when Rabbi Akiva needed the pasuk of Ahemis Ish Oisha to tell us that the children inherit the woman and not the husband, that was only referring to a case of kofar. Why? Because kofar is, by definition, only paid after death, after the woman dies. She's killed. That's why she receives payment. That's therefore considered roi. That's considered property, which is not, there's a difference between roi and muhsak. Roi is property that's destined to fall to somebody, but the person does not actually have a claim to yet. And muhsak is something that they're actually holding, they actually have a claim to. So because the woman only collects this money after she dies, in the life of the woman, it's considered roi, it's considered destined to fall to the woman once she's killed, but it's not muhsak, she doesn't have possession over it, and we have a principle that a baal is not notel, but roi kibbe muhsak. The husband does not inherit property which is only destined to fall to the woman, he only inherits property which the woman already has a hold over. So even though Rabbi Akiva holds generally a husband would inherit his wife, in this case of kofar, which is only paid after Misa, the husband is not notel b'roi kivim muchsak. And the Gemara just clarifies one more line, my taima, amar kra, v'hemis ish o isha, hashor yisakel, v'gam ba'alav yuma, im kofar yushad alav. The Gemara is sort of mixing one pasuk after the other, but it says we have to understand all these pasukim together. That the pasuk first says the shor kills a man or woman, then the shor is put to death, and you have to pay kofar. So the kofar is only paid after the person is killed by the shor, and thus kofar is by definition considered roi. It's only something which is destined to fall to the woman because it will only be paid after Misa, and that's why the Torah tells us that the inheritors of the woman get the kofar payment and not the ba'al. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Thank you, Rabbi.